Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This program is centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers, and you're welcome to call in to ask questions or make comments during the show. Telephone toll-free 877-876-5227 if you are in the U.S. Anywhere else, for time being, please ring 530-876-3222. I am available for private consultations, and you can also help support this program by making a donation or sponsoring the show. For more information, please visit towardthelight.org. This week, I am very pleased and honored to have as my guest Mary Sutherland from BUFO, and she's quite an experiencer and researcher herself. Welcome, Mary. It is such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you very much for having me tonight. The last time we spoke, you were a guest on our show.
And it was such a joy to do that as well. And I look forward to finding out about some of the work that you've been doing. It sounds rather exciting.
Well, first, I'd like to congratulate you on your radio program.
Well, thank you so much. And I guess we do have a caller. I'm not sure if that person is waiting on the line for us, but we'll probably be notified when this person is going to call. Anyway, what I'd like to do is start by asking you about some significant experiences, or at least one significant experience you've had that has kind of led you into all of this profound work you've been doing.
Well, what we do here, one of my chief projects is interdimensional photography. We have all these people out there that have experiences, but many people now are being able to get photos of orbs and ectoplasm. But in our research through interdimensional photography, we're actually able to somehow shoot through the veil and photograph the other side to the point where we are able to document parallel universes, where what we will shoot a picture of a person in this dimension, but when the picture shows up on the LCD screen, it shows them not only on this dimension, but in other dimensions. Sometimes it will only show maybe like a mirrored world where there's only, they'll be in this dimension and then a higher dimension. Sometimes, though, we'll actually show where there, we'll take a picture of one person and there'll be five of that same person in different positions.
That's very interesting, because when those of us who have actually been on the other side try to describe some of this, it's very, very hard to do.
It is.
And
it
yet...
Well, our research through interdimensional photography gives credibility. It gives validation. And I think that is so, so important.
I totally agree with you. Now, what kind of equipment do you use, Mary? Because this is really important work.
Well, unfortunately, I am about the only person out there. Now, I know that, he's on your site as well, Dr. Claude Swanson.
Oh, yes.
Dr. Claude Swanson has actually done the interdimensional photography work, too.
Yes.
And he has talked a great deal, I believe, on phase shifting.
Exactly.
And the universal, his book is, help me with this, his book is...
Synchronized Universe.
The Synchronized Universe. So he and Dr. Claude Swanson has been on our show as well. Now, and I believe that he's going to be meeting with a bunch of other scientists, and he's going to be the speaker on interdimensional photography. And he's another one that has been able to shoot these other worlds. But to most people it's a rare phenomenon that they're actually able to capture this type of a picture. But with us, it's we have thousands of pictures up of the work that we've done, shooting photos of the other side, mirrored worlds, parallel worlds, the higher dimensions, phase shifting, you know, showing them actually shifting from one world into another, stepping out of their bodies. But to most people it would be difficult, but apparently what the best I can figure is going on is somehow my energies, I'll go out into an area, and with the energies that I project through the camera, my intent to get the picture and my belief that I'm going to get the picture somehow gets me my picture. And at first it was just me that could get these pictures. And then as the more secure I became in my work, and the more people were able to see what I was able to produce, the more comfortable they became, they would come out with me. And because of all this, then as long as they were with me, somehow I created a field around me where they were actually able to capture these type of pictures too. And
that's
so
wonderful.
Now what we do is we take people out to these sacred areas weekly. And I have literally taken hundreds and hundreds of people out to these sacred areas and helped them to be able to get these type of photos too.
And do you use digital cameras and or film cameras?
What I do is I use a digital.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. But I think the main thing is you have to be in a sacred site, someplace where there's a portal, where you can, the doorways. And you usually find these in the mound areas or the temple areas. And there is some sort of unique power that these areas have and of course with all the shows that you've done, I'm sure a lot of people have said, you know, that, you know, they have felt strange energies around these sacred sites. And so the reason they do is because these energies actually open up doorways. Now these doorways things are, you know, not only do people on this side are they able to travel back and forth, but of course on the other side they're able to come over too. And I think what happens is these spirits, once they get to know you, they know that you're no threat, they like to communicate.
Oh, indeed.
and so this, with what we do by taking people out to these sites, they're able to communicate with this side. And so because of it, they're there and they're active. And then all it takes is the digital camera and the intent. Intent is a very important word when it comes to this. You have to have intent. You have to think to yourself. You have to let the spirit know, I am here to take these type of pictures. Then and then also it's a matter of belief. You know, because if you doubt, you cancel intent, right?
Yes.
And so you can't have doubt, because doubt shuts the door down. And so, and you want to make sure that door stays open. And then it's taking your energy field and somehow what that does is you build up that energy field and you're projecting out with the belief, with the intent and everything. And I think what it does is it creates some sort of a flare. And it affects the camera in a way where it actually takes the camera and turns it into something very similar to the Carolian camera.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so it somehow energizes that camera. But instead of paying, what, $6,000 for a Carolian, you've paid $80, $100, maybe $200 for a nice digital. Big difference.
Well, I think it's a really good point, too, when you're talking about intent. But something else that I was thinking about, again, for those of us who have been to the other side, and several of us more than once, and for me, for example, it's very natural to kind of pop simultaneously into different dimensions and then back into this one.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to think that maybe, for example, hypothetically, if I went on one of these journeys with you, as it were, and already so naturally not only being a believer but an experiencer,
yeah,
that it'd be interesting to see what would come up. And also, as more and more people start to realize that, you know, the universe is kind of like an onion with all the multiple layers of universes, and that the veils or walls between them are very, very thin.
Yeah, and getting thinner.
All the time. And then the fact that we are being quickened, and even in our human form, vibrating at a higher frequency,
mm-hmm,
then it's going to be a lot easier to see and experience these different dimensions simultaneously.
And like you said, more and more people are now, because of veil thinning and because we're going through this vibrational change, are experiencing. And this is why my work and your work is so important, because if we wasn't out there doing what we're doing and bringing this type of truth, you know, to the attention of the public, they would be experiencing this, not realizing what was going on. I have so many people come to our center, you know, or call here, thinking that they're losing their mind because of what they're experiencing. And so at that point of time, you know, I'll refer them to one of my various sites or, you know, or to shows like yours, you know, and mine, where they can listen and learn and understand that this is a process that's happening right now to all of us. So they're not losing their mind, you know. They just have to, to me, it's critical that people educate themselves right now as to what is going on. It's 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 2 years from now is not the time. Now is the time, you know, so that when all this happens, they can learn how to bend like a reed. Because if they don't, they're going to break like a twig.
And it's going to be very tough as well. But when I think about this work, too, and all the people who have come to me and said, am I going crazy? And I said, not only are you not going crazy, but you are very, very sound.
Yeah.
And here's why. And more we are gathering proof. And it's interesting because people do put a lot of weight into photography.
Yeah.
So when they see a picture, they, you know, straight away, to them that's proof. Now I have something maybe a little bit reverse happened to me. This is one example, and I have mentioned it before, where I was playing piano, and of course I go into quite a state of bliss when I'm playing piano because I love to play. But I was sitting at a grand piano, and someone was taking pictures of me, and there was a candle on the piano and the curtains and the window in the background. And when the pictures came back, everything showed up except there was no Juliet.
Really? Yep.
So, you know, at that point I was vibrating at such a high frequency that I became invisible. And, of course, you know, they weren't able to perceive or capture anything on any other dimension, but it was interesting, the fact that I was gone.
I would love to have see that picture and put it up on our site, you know, as just some more evidence of what happened.
I wish I had it. It was
oh, you
so
don't
long
have
ago,
it
but I haven't got it. But it is something that I really clearly remember, and I think that it is so related to what you're doing here, what you've been talking about, that, you know, I just popped into a different frequency that rendered me invisible.
And
just
you
like
do.
On the radio
it,
dial.
Well, what happens is we only see things at a certain speed, you know, and a certain vibrational speed. And once it gets past that speed, it becomes invisible to us. And I think that so there, you know, there's entities out there, you know, that such as fairies, you know, various things like that, that they're all around us all the time. But again, they're at such a fast vibration, they've just become invisible to us. But again, with that faster vibration, you're able to go in and out of the various worlds, or dimensions, whatever you want to call them. But we have pictures. May I give my
please your website? I wasn't sure which one to give out.
Well, I know we have my site's like New York City. You can go on it and spend months. You know, on a virtual trip. You know where you get lost. You know, and but the one where we have the interdimensional photography, where people will actually be able to see people. Going into the, standing in the other dimensions and phase shifting and disappearing like yourself. That website is burlingtonnews.net/multiverses. MULTIVERSES. Multiverses.
That's a great word.
I better check that.
DNA was using that word, and so was Claude.
I best be just checking that. Yeah, MULTIVERSES.
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, that's basically what it is.
That's more accurate, isn't it?
Multiverses, parallel universes. And it's interesting because the first picture that you'll come across when you get to the burlingtonnews.net/multiverses is you'll see a line of people to the left, but you'll see the identical line of people to the right, you know. And so what they've done is they have split into two worlds. But their expression on their faces are different. They're somewhat, you know, as you look through, you'll see the difference in it. But what was amazing on that one was we had a newspaper out that evening with us. Because they had heard about us taking people out into this wooded area and doing this type of work at night. You know, we use night because, you know, the vibrations are just a little bit stronger, you know, and the portals have opened up. So we like to take people out at night.
And
so
where
anyhow,
where do you go?
Right outside of Burlington here, Burlington, Wisconsin.
Burlington, Wisconsin.
In a little place called Honey Creek.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyhow, this newspaper contacted us. And they said, would you mind if we came out and did a story, and we'd like to be out there in the woods, and we'll bring our own photographer. And I said, yeah, sure, go for it. So they went out there, and they used their own photographer. And, of course, naturally, their photographer is very skeptical of it. But, you know, he was shooting away. And then at this particular picture, he saw me shoot the camera. So as I shot the camera, he then shot his camera so that, you know, just in case I got something and he didn't, he could say, see, there you go. It was her camera or whatever. Well, lo and behold, this picture that you see up there, they also got the identical picture. Just about 30 seconds, maybe a minute later. But the people were still in the two worlds. And he got his as well, and that's what's so nice about it is because it's just not my camera getting it. Because otherwise people could say, oh, well, it's just her cameras, her settings, you know. But now other people are able to get it. But like I said, that it seems to be that I have to be there when it happens. Something to do, me being able to radiate that energy field, you know. And,
well, that's why I was mentioning earlier, like, for example, if I were to go with you, because of my energy obviously is very different.
Yeah.
As a result of my near-death experiences and just really having numerous spiritually transformative experiences, which also causes one to move into different dimensions simultaneously, and it's very powerful. It's like having an NDE without having to be on the verge of death, which is the good news. In fact, I guess it's coming up on my show. Nancy Clark had a powerful STE, and she was as healthy as could be, but it was, she had all of the same types of experiences and going into the light and being one with the divine source, everything, and simultaneously giving a eulogy. So it's very, very powerful that there are more diverse but related experiences that people are having without needing to be on the verge of death. And I guess some of us just had to die and then say, well, you know what? This is true for everybody, that we are indeed multidimensional. We
don't
exist on one plane.
It's like you said about the onion and the layers of skin on the onion. I think we are the same as that. We have all these layers of us.
Yes.
And we just, you know, that extend out probably to the very source. And then they just, and then it gets denser and denser and denser until the final point is what we are today, the most densest part of that. And, but there's all these layers in between. And I think that these layers, a lot of times, you know, from my pictures, it almost looks like maybe they kind of like step away, you know, step up and through, you know, they're, and who knows, maybe that is when we're having contact to this higher source, maybe that higher source is us.
Well, we're definitely, that's how I see it, is that we are all a part of that divine source, and it is completely impossible to be separate from that light source, except in the ego's way of thinking, because the ego still is dealing with amnesia.
Yeah.
But
well, they say in the Bible that the only real sin is separation or denying your Holy Spirit.
Ooh,
and I've
good.
Often wondered if that Holy Spirit really isn't that connection that we personally have to the higher sources. You know, it's our connection, and thus when we did so. When, you know, like with you and myself and others, you know, when we get, we're very tuned in, we're very connected to that higher source, so we're constantly getting messages and visions and being at certain places at a certain time to experience certain things. And the reason for it is because, again, like I said, that connection to the higher source. And but through conditioning of the thousands of years, we've come to deny this connection. We don't pay any attention to those voices in our head anymore. We don't listen to the to our sixth sense where it says beware, caution, you know, and of course to me. That is denying the Holy Spirit, because we've been conditioned to just to analyze things to death. We get we hear something, you know, psychically hear something, like a thought comes to us about, you know, not, let's say, don't get in the car right now, go later. And, you know, some of us would listen to that and we would be safe. Other people would say, oh, well, that's just my imagination.
Yes.
And then they get in the car and they have an accident. And I think this is what it's all about, is that higher, this communication that comes from the source, it tells us all this, and we just write it off as imagination or something silly to laugh at, you know. And by doing so, they end up denying their Holy Spirit, you know. To me, that's how I see it. You know?
That's how I have experienced it too. And in fact, all over the Judeo-Christian Bible, especially in the Old Testament, there's numerous accounts of people having direct communion with the light source openly and conveying it to other people.
Yeah.
But now today, if we openly say, I've been talking to the light force, they want to lock us up. But the interesting thing is that through these conventional religions, as it were, and psychological schools of thought, etc., we have been conditioned and trained out of that communion, which is all, you know, it's transmitted through the right brain, not the linear left brain. And so, I can never stress enough how important it is to listen to what comes to us. Through the intuition, through our dreams, interdimensional experiences that we have.
I was talking the other day to the gentleman by the name of Tecumseh.
10 seconds away.
And another gentleman by the name of Tecumseh. And they told me that women have been misinformed. Women have, you know, where they say left brain, right brain, the men, it's the left brain, the woman, right brain, right? I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah.
The right brain is more the spiritual, right?
Yes.
Okay. They said that we've been misinformed. Actually, women use both sides of their brain. Because a lot of people will say that women aren't any good at math, you know, because they're right-brained. But when you really sit down and think about it, there's a lot of women that are very good, you know, in math and working problems out, you know, solving problems, and also being able to still maintain their spirituality, you know, stay in touch. So thus, it would seem then that women are of both. They've actually been able to combine the functions of both sides.
I
thought that was quite interesting.
Mm, yes, and actually, from what I understand, is that right brain, left brain, all of that is the right brain being a feminine essence or energy associated with it. But men have not been really allowed to integrate them both, although I do know men who have integrated both as well, but they're just different.
Well, again, I think that's been conditioned out of them.
Mm,
you know,
exactly.
Because they have to be a man, you know,
yes,
they cannot cry, you know, they cannot show their feelings to, you know, they've got to be that, you know, that, that image, they have to present that image, and because of it, thus again, they've also been put into that conditioned death trap.
Definitely, and it's interesting now, this dialogue going on with people about this law of attraction and how people are needing to actually feel what they want, because that's what's going to bring it into their lives.
Yeah.
So now there's been a true reversal of thought. Instead of feeling anymore, we really do need to allow ourselves to feel, because that is what creates the vibrational frequency that is going to draw to us what we need and what we want. So that's very interesting too. Again, I think that is more of this right brain, the side of the physical nature anyway, that is more in tune and aligned with the spirit source, with the light source. The people need to listen to that. You're not crazy. I give the analogy of input-output, because I experience them as two different sensations. When I'm having a thought about someone or something, that's a very different feeling from, for example, being preoccupied with something, and then all of a sudden a thought or something comes to my awareness and I say, aha, here is someone in my space, or here is an alert that's being sent to me, my radar is up. And so I like to encourage people to pay attention to that when you have these sensations, if somebody comes to your mind, or if an idea or a thought or some kind of alert, because that is a way that you are experiencing direct communion with the light source, and no, you are not hallucinating. It's a very different thing from a hallucination.
We have on this other website, I have like this one site where it's called BRC. It's a school of higher learning, and it's available free for anyone that wants to learn and to understand who they are, why they're here, and it teaches them of the energies and how we interact with it. But I wanted to bring up something on this one. There, I had this one article on spirit warriors, and of course that's, again, what you are, Juliet, is a spirit warrior as well as myself. And I wanted to share this with the listeners, if I may.
Please.
We as spiritual warriors move beyond the physical realm, where reality is merely a board game. We learn that life is all about regaining our personal power by not allowing the illusion to take it away. To be a spiritual warrior is to bring balance to yourself and hopefully to others you meet, finding your own truth. We are all spirit warriors fighting the duality of good versus evil in a game created by electromagnetic energies. With one foot in the other world and another foot in this world, the spiritual warrior sees beyond the illusion into the truth. And then our godly inheritance. We, through harnessed energy of the medium and suitable agencies for starting and stopping ethereal worlds, have the inherited ability to manifest matter. At our very command, without effort, old worlds would vanish and new ones would manifest. We can alter the size of this planet, control its seasons, adjust its distance from the sun, guide it on its eternal journey along any path we choose. Through the depths of the universe, we can create life in all of its infinite forms. This is who we are. And we've forgotten.
Oh boy, isn't that the truth? And that's beautiful again that you point that out with a thought, because on the other side we were able to experience being able to manifest something instantly with a thought, or be somewhere instantly just with a thought. It's hard to fathom that on this plane. So many of us have spoken about it, and now you just have again. We are mounting up all of this tremendous evidence of how powerful we really are as beings, and needing to really remember who we are, and thankfully that is starting to happen more. Now, what is that website, Mary? What are those letters you mentioned so that everyone can...
BRC, that's Burlington Research Center.
Okay, so B as in Burlington, R as in research, and C as in center. BRC.com?
Well, no, it's found at burlingtonnews.net /talk.
Okay, burlingtonnews.net/talk. That's burlingtonnews.net/talk, and then you see the BRC in there.
Right, and I have a lot of articles in there. And, of course, you know, so people are able to go there, and I have all these various types of articles to show people, you know, try to help them to gain that sense of, how would I say it, it's of knowing who they are, you know, getting their to give them that empower them, you know, of knowing who they are, why they're here, what their capabilities are. One thing that I always try to stress to everyone is, every chance I get, because we can, there's no ifs and buts about this. We do manifest with our thoughts. And so we have to be very, very careful of everything we think, because someplace in this world or in another world, you know, it could be another multidimensional world, one of the dimensions out there, but someplace we have manifested that thought. So we have to be careful about what we think about, especially now.
Oh, yes, and we need to work on deprogramming ourselves from all the malarkey that we've been taught over the years, and that is a piece of work, but
well, what do they say? We have to learn to unlearn the past.
Yes, very good. That is really, really good. And Mary, what brought you into this work, or have you been a sort of mystic since you were a child? What actually?
Well, people have asked that before, and I was doing a show a couple weeks ago with Sarah Simmons. She has a radio show too, and she used to have her own mystery school. And at that point in time, I realized that I was born into this world doing this work. This is why I did come. And for the first, when I was about 12, maybe even 14 years back, I realized that I had no memory of my childhood. I had done a life regression, and I remembered my other lives. I remembered dying. I remembered being sent back. I remembered being in my mother's womb and even being born. And at that point in time, it blanked out, and it didn't blank, or it didn't. The lights didn't come back on again until just about a week prior to school. And prior to having the life regression, see, what had happened was I was doing an article, because I had a Venetian magazine at the time, and I was doing an article on life regression. And so the people had said, well, why don't you actually have it done, and then that way you really understand it better to do the proper article. But right up until that point in time, I just naturally assumed no one really had a childhood memory. I just took it for granted. And but then after I had done that, I came to the realization that this was very rare. Well, you know, and a lot of times it is brought on by childhood trauma, you know, abuse or whatever. But I had wonderful parents, you know, and I've listened to the stories of the neighbors and the family, and I've seen pictures and everything, and just nothing ever clicked until finally a couple weeks ago, like I said, I talked to Sarah Simmons. And I realized what had happened was, when I was born into this world, I came into this world on automatic pilot. The body was there, but I wasn't clicking.
Oh, boy, does that sound familiar.
Yeah,
ditto.
Where it was I was, for the first 7 years of my life, I sacrificed my childhood to be in a school of higher learning.
Yes.
So that I could be doing what I'm doing today. And so, and then of course I was forced back into, forced back into going into full, or, you know, manual pilot, just prior to school, because there again, there was a new learning process that I needed to go through, you know, interacting with people, you know, of my own kind. But then I finally, but, you know, so one, so thank you to Sarah Simmons, for bringing that to my attention, because I thought of myself as maybe a walk-in. Well, that one really didn't make any sense. Well, I knew my parents were good people, so I knew that it wasn't anything like that. But I was just mystified. I could not figure it out. But then, and she was explaining that automatic. We do this a lot, even during our lives. People will go start to daydream, you know. And when they're daydreaming, you know, working and daydreaming, they're in automatic pilot. Many times people be driving down the road and, you know, they're not there, but they're managing to get from point A to point B. And then all of a sudden, you know, they you know, go back into manual, and then they think to themselves, well, how did I even get here? How did I possibly even drive like this?
Yes.
You know, but that's what it is. It's automatic pilot. You're there, but you're just not clicking.
But see, I don't have childhood memories either. And in fact, it's,
Oh, you don't either?
No, and I've always been so multi-dimensional, so I couldn't tell you what was taking place on what plane, because...
Yeah. Well, now you know.
Exactly, and you know, sometimes I'll still go through that. All right, what was that? Was that a dream? Was it a lucid experience? Was it out of body? Was it something that happened on the physical plane? And I also don't have a sense of time like most people do.
I don't either. Well, you and myself, we're walking in two worlds all the time.
Yes. It's nice to talk to somebody else who's been this way all of her life.
well, you know, and I think that's where when people talk about, you know, because, you know, you can always go back to the old words, you know, because we have all these sayings and we never, you know, and you ask somebody, well, where did you come up with this thing? Well, you know, they say, well, I don't know. But, I mean, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, I was so scattered today?
Good point.
You know,
point.
And it's like, well, what do you mean scattered? Well, you know, but think about it. That's exactly what they were. They were scattered. You know, their multidimensional beings were being scattered in the various dimensions.
Yes.
You know, or people say, well, I just wasn't here today, you know. Well, they wasn't. They were an automatic pilot, and they were in one of the higher dimensions. But, of course, if you ask them what they meant by it, well, you know, or where they come up with that saying, they'll say, well, I don't know, I just, you know, picked it up. Because people never, they never, you know, like a child, you know, they'll drive a person crazy by saying, why? But we don't, you know, as we get to a certain age in life, we just accept without asking the questions why. Where, you know, like with me, I say, well, why do you say scattered? Well, why do you say you wasn't there today? You know, and that's what we have to do. We have to go past the, you know, the accepted words and ask where these words came from. Because somebody... you know, that came up with these words, they knew exactly what they meant by that. And then we just picked them up and, you know, that was it. But there are some points that somebody down the, earlier in our ancestors knew exactly what multidimensional life was all about in moving into these other realms. Otherwise, we wouldn't have those words.
I think a lot more than people even realize, too, because as... people like myself have come forward and said, I've been to the other side. And then we start sharing the descriptions of these experiences. Then more and more people go, oh, well, I've had an experience sort of like that. And again, not necessarily having to be on the verge of death either. But as and even as a counselor and as a professional psychic and medium, when people are sharing things with me, I will often offer information back to them, so it kind of validates them and gives credibility to their own experiences, so they don't feel like they're alone or isolated in their experiences, and then they realize, oh, this is quite natural to go through this.
Well, you know, with near-death experiences or even experiences dying and then actually coming back, we, you know, when people ask me what that is like, of course I've never really had one, but I try to explain it like this, that we are out, that we actually experience the mini death every time we go to sleep.
Yes.
Because we, but, and you know, I see this almost like, how would I explain it, something. It's like a practice run. We go to sleep, which would be, so the little, okay, so what I'm referring to now is I'm comparing going to sleep to death, okay? And then waking up to reincarnated life, okay? But that, this is what we do every day. Night. We go to sleep, which is a mini death, and then we travel. And we meet all of our loved ones, and we go to the schools of higher learning. We go to other places where we mend, you know, in case, you know, that we've had, you know, a lot of stress or something like that, you know, or having problems. So there are places that we can go for help there. So So anyhow, we do a lot of traveling, a lot of work when we're sleeping. And then what we do is when morning time comes, we wake up. Okay, that's the mini. And then what it's leading to is the mighty, I guess you would say, when we, again, at the end of this life, which would be the mini, the end of the day, it would be the end of the life, we go to sleep. And then as we go to sleep, we step out of our body and we visit all of our friends, and we're tended to if we need some help, you know, whatever happens there, you know, we're taught, you know. And then finally we wake up. But when instead of waking up like in the mini sleep, we're waking up from death itself into a new life, which would be a new day.
Absolutely.
You follow me?
That's a good, very good analogy. And if people
I think it's a practice run. If we would, because if we could understand our sleep, going to sleep, what we do in our sleep, and waking up, we could understand what happens in death. Because we go to sleep, and we wake up. We just wake up into another reality.
And the whole point of that, too, is the fact that we are still conscious. Our consciousness is still running very busily, even as our bodies are asleep. And
yeah.
Then finally, when we lay down the bodies and discard them for good, our consciousness and our selfhood still continue.
Oh, well, energy cannot be destroyed.
Exactly. It changes form, but
you know, right there, it tells us, or it should, that conscious energy cannot be destroyed. And I think that this is, you know, like you'll see pictures, like again, you know, with me doing the interdimensional photography research, we come across a lot of pictures of orbs.
I was just thinking of your
beautiful orbs. And I really believe that what the orbs are is like when you are in your physical body, you have this great big orb around you, right? This is your aura, your life force, but it's all in a protective bubble, something that you can't see, but it's there. Listeners, if you to understand what I'm trying to say, stand, find a place to stand and have somebody walk real fast to you. And you'll instantly know when they get to that the perimeter of your bubble.
The aura
field. Yeah, because you'll feel it. You'll start to tense, you know.
Oh, I feel
but,
it.
Yeah. So, you know, that's your protective bubble, okay? But then it's very big at this point of time because it has to surround your entire body. But as you leave your body in death, okay, you leave as conscious energy, holding all of your memories, all of your emotions, the real you, your essence, your very essence, the thing that makes you tick, the thing, everything about you is still there. It's just not being contained in a body anymore. But so that bubble that's around you, it shrinks down and surrounds you again. It surrounds your conscious energy. And thus, we have the orb.
And it's very interesting that you say that, too, because when I was on the other side and even saw some others, you know, people would say, well, what shape were you? You know, and generally, we, you know, I would give the description as a bubble or kind of spherical, like a spherical form of light.
Well, you know, it's easier for us to travel too in that bubble.
In that form, yes.
Yeah, but I'm sure that's what that bubble is. It's the protective, the energy around you. The protective, like a force field of some sort. You know, that protects that energy.
That makes a lot of sense, and I also think too that we are basically light. You know,
we are,
and so it's not surprising that you are going to capture these glowing, beautifully luminous orbs because I saw them whilst on the other side, and then I can still see them on this side too and recognize what they are. And you've taken quite a number of pictures of those, haven't you, as well?
Thousands.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to my website, burlingtonnews.net/hauntedtours4, that's the number for Haunted Tours 4. On the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a photo album with dates. You can click onto any one of those, and the photo albums probably each got like 300 pictures in it. And all that is photos of orbs, ectoplasm, the multiverses, phase shifting, and other strange light phenomena. And we get, the beautiful angelic lights, like the lights that you see at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, yes.
Many times we are able to photograph them in these doorways. They're just beautiful, just like a brilliant, bright light. And they're like brilliant white with pastel colors. But, when you look at it, as bright as it is in the picture, you just cannot understand why you could not have possibly seen that with your physical eye. But you don't. Because it's operating at a higher vibration.
And one point that I will make, too, is that not all of us do have the tunnel experience. I know that's been coined as a sort of typical near-death experience, but it really isn't. By far, the vast majority of NDEs do not have the tunnel experience, but indeed the light. I experienced that powerful light being without the tunnel experience, and it's, you feel and see and are in completely enveloped by that light.
When I did the life regression, I remembered myself being in a tunnel, and it's amazing because I'm a tunnel researcher today.
Oh.
So you know how you always carry on from a prior life. There was a cave-in, and there was like three other people there, and I could have escaped, but there was debris holding me down. So my legs were crushed, and I couldn't get out. And so I died more of exposure, and probably loss of blood. But I remember myself leaving my body, okay, and shooting up through that shaft, the mine shaft, okay. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I remembered is not so much of a tunnel, but I was going upwards, and there was all these little twinkly things all around me.
Oh, yes.
Just all little twinklies. And I realized what they was souls, I believe that's what they were. And some of them were just kind of like, going faster than others, and then others wasn't really, they're just kind of like there, and then others were moving slow. They were all, taking their own individual time, but they were all ascending. But did you see the twinkles too?
Oh, absolutely, and I still do, as a matter of fact. I still will see twinkles.
Oh, yeah.
And they're different colors. It just depends on who wants to speak to me in the moment. Sometimes they're white or a gold white. Sometimes they're violet. Sometimes they're red. Sometimes they're blue. And I also like to encourage our listeners to pay attention to that, too, because that is not an uncommon phenomenon for people to see. They just disregard it, unfortunately.
They do.
Those are friends speaking to us, and we need to pay attention to that as well.
There's so many different ways that spirit communicates. One of the things I tell people is that spirit uses our memories to communicate, whereas many people will be on the...
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, have we got a
caller? Hello?
I think we're actually coming to the end of our program now.
But what happens is they'll be like washing dishes, and all of a sudden there's a memory, of an old friend, and they'll think to themselves, "Well, I haven't thought about that person in years." And what I do is tell people when they get like thoughts like that, that spirit, that whoever they were thinking of was right there, using those memories to communicate, because they do. They use our memories to communicate.
Yes. Oh, that is so wonderful. Mary, I really want to thank you once again for being on our show this week. It has been such a pleasure to have you, Mary Sutherland, and your website again is burlingtonnews.net. My website is towardthelight.org, and I will look forward to having you with us next week, everyone. Blessings and light to you always, and please remember, only love prevails.
Amen. Okay, thank you, and we'll have to have you back on our show soon, too.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.